Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Here's the option. Either you will humble yourself or God will humble you. What would you like? I don't know about you, but I'll humble myself, thank you. Because when God humbles you, He humbles you.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. The Bible tells us that we have an adversary. In fact, it speaks of him as going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us the most powerful weapon that God has given us against the enemy. Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled, The Correctability Factor.
When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." Did he? No. Let's read on. But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" You know what the bleating of sheep is? Bah, that's right. So he came and said, "Hey, did you carry out the command of the Lord?" "Oh, yeah, bah." No, I'm fine. You see, sometimes we have a tendency to deny that there's anything wrong. We live a disconnected life of what we say to people and what we really live. And that disconnection, that incongruent life, what the Bible calls hypocrisy, we're blind to. I cannot tell you how we live that way and we don't even see it. There's an old saying that says, "The eye cannot see the eye." Which means you need someone else to see your eye for you. But if I'm not correctable, even though there's something wrong with it, I'll deny it because I can't see it. The correctability factor is absolutely crucial if we're going to win this race that God calls us to win. Sometimes, you know, in this denial thing, we know all there is to know about love, but there's no love in my home. I know all there is to know about forgiveness. I can teach classes on forgiveness, but I can't forgive. Bad attitude. I know all there is to know about joy, but there's no joy. I know all there is to know about God, but I don't live the way God wants me to. Because I have bad morals, bad relationships. And so Samuel comes in and says, "How's things going?" He says, "Oh, fine, bad." "What was that?" Samuel says. "Oh, no, I was just saying I was having a bad day. And maybe it's time for you to go back home." You see, sooner or later it's going to show up. People are going to say, "Well, something's wrong with that guy's life. Something's wrong. There's not the depth there." People aren't dumb. They see it. Unless there's a genuineness to the core, it always smells funny. And God says, "What's the bleating of sheep then that I hear? It's coming out." We have a tendency to deny. Let's read the next scripture. Ready? Go. "This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, 'I have done no wrong.'" Pretty easy for us to do that. "No, I'm fine. No. I'm okay. No, God sees my heart." I mean, you just line up the reasons of rationale. When that happens and it enters the church, the next thing happens in 2 Timothy 3:5. Let's read what happens. Ready? Go. "They will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them." Do you know that we can actually do that when we deny? When we don't agree with God, what's going on in my life? When I disagree with God, I'm actually rejecting the very power that could make me godly and transform my life. So the first danger towards correctability is denial. Well, what's the antidote? Would you write in your notes there? Genuine repentance. Which just means us saying, "God, I did that. I'm sorry. God, I did that. I'm wrong." See, that's what the word confession means. Agreeing with God. Just agree with God. No, it's not some kind of conceding thing. Well, I do drugs, so what? No, that's a wrong heart. That's not being honest, that's being stupid. Being honest is saying, I agree with God that what he says is wrong. I agree with him. That's called confession. Repentance is then turning away from that and turning to the Lord. Turning away from that and turning to the Lord. See, that's that correction that's taking place. Coming from that which is going for a crash course and being corrected back on to the way God has for you. Because God sees our future and he sees these Amalekites coming after us. And sometimes we do nothing about it. We play with it. We mess with it instead of destroying it. And God sees your future and he says, you're gonna ruin your whole future. I love you too much to stand idly by. And so God brings in some kind of confrontation, something. Now we can deny or we can have genuine repentance. Let me give you the greatest, the strongest weapon against the enemy that's waiting to strike, preying off your weakness. Here's the strongest, the most powerful weapon against the enemy. Listen, it's called repentance. Because when I repent, the devil loses his grip on me. Because now I come under the mercy and the grace and the protective power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But until I repent, if I hold on to this thing and deny it and deny it and deny it, then the devil loves it. That's why it's so hard sometimes to repent, to agree with God, to just come clean. You know why? Because the devil's going to throw every card your way as to why you don't need to, why it's too embarrassing, why it's too ashamed, why it doesn't look good. You name it, he's going to throw you the card because he knows that as soon as you have genuine repentance, you're out of his grip. Genuine repentance is a powerful weapon against the enemy, just waiting in the shadows to destroy your life in the future. And so God calls us to genuine repentance. In fact, it was so poignant to one of the old classic missionaries named Hudson Taylor of the Inland China Mission that when he would greet people, he'd shake their hand and he wouldn't say, good afternoon. You know what he'd say? Because he understood that a repenting church was a healthy church, a repenting husband is a healthy husband. He would shake hands with someone that would be his friend and he would shake their hand and say, have you repented yet today? That's how he would greet you. Have you repented yet today? If someone came up to you and said, have you repented yet today? How would you respond? What? Yeah, you see, we'd get defensive. But you see, he didn't see repentance as a negative thing. He saw it as a what? A positive thing because he understood repentance. The correct thing to do is genuine repentance. Well, instead of doing that, because he could have increased his correctability factor, he goes further south. And when he's pressed by Samuel about his deed that he hadn't completed, instead of genuinely repenting, he goes into the next correctability killer. Would you write in number two? He starts blaming others. Blaming others. Look and see who he blames as we read the scripture. Ready? Go. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But the rest we have utterly destroyed. Who did he say spared the best of the sheep and the oxen? The people. Underline that. For the people spared, not me. Oh, there's such a quickness to blame, isn't it? That's one of the signs or signals where our correctability factor is dropping. I'm quick to blame. When something is pointed out, instead of responding to God's truth or taking time to ponder it in our heart, I'm just quick to blame. I experienced that. When in Hilo, I was driving down the street and this guy came out of a side street, just ran the stop sign, bang, into this car, the driver's door car of this lady driving up the street. Bang! Both cars spun around and I stopped and I thought, oh man, this lady is, because right at her door, I thought, oh man, that's it. So I ran over there and the side window had been shattered and the door was crunched in. She was off to the side. And I said, are you okay? And she's brushing some stuff off of her. I said, are you okay, ma'am? Are you okay? She looked up at me, and I guess she was, because she said, what you bang my car for? And she had fire in her eyes. I said, I was driving by, and I saw this, and I wanted to stop. She said, you know, I'm going to sue you for every penny you get. you banged my car. You ran that stop sign. I said, excuse me, I didn't do it. I just stopped. I'm a passerby just to check to see if you're okay. She said, I'm going to whack your head. And she started to open the door. Lucky the door was all jarred. She's fighting this door. I thought, maybe it's time for me to leave. And so I walked, and I went to the other car, and the guy was in there, and I said, are you okay? And he was okay. And so I said, oh, man, okay, you want me to go get the police and so they can get an accident report? He said, oh, yeah, yeah, please do that. I said, oh, great. And by the way, I said, that lady over there would like to talk to you. And I went, we're so quick to blame. Just, you did it. You did it. It's because you. It doesn't matter. You. And we're just quick to just blame somebody else. And God is saying, stop. Well, how do I get myself out of this? Because we all have that tendency to just blame other people. Just to blame. You do that, I do that. I do it because my wife makes it good. But we all have that tendency, don't we? Well, how do we break out of that? How do we break out of that? Well, here it is. Would you write in your notes? And this is going to require practice, so write that word down. Practice humbling yourself. You see, because humility isn't standard equipment. It's an option. You got to cultivate that. And so you got to practice it because it's no fun. It's absolutely no fun. And it's not easy. It's not comfortable. And I fight against that. My flesh fights against that. So I've got to just practice it. Okay, today, just right now, I'm going to practice humbling myself. Just practice it. Practice it until it gets a little more comfortable. But if you will, the Lord will reward you because you fear God more than looking good in this situation. And it's not easy, I can tell you. We all have to practice it. Let's read the scripture together. Ready? Go. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Write this other scripture down, 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Matthew 25, Jesus said, he who humbles himself will be exalted, and he who exalts himself will be humbled. The Lord says, humble who? Yourself, not one another. Humble yourself. What he's saying is this. Here's the option. Either you will humble yourself or God will humble you. What would you like? I don't know about you, but I'll humble myself, thank you. Because when God humbles you, he humbles you. So God says then there needs to be a self-adjusting mechanism on the inside where you respond to wisdom. When you're going off the path and wisdom speaks to you, that you make the adjustment, self-adjust, before you go over the edge. If you choose not to and you fight against that, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that's pulling and tugging on you, then you'll have to hit consequences and then come up the other way. And that may take you years. So he puts a self-adjusting thing of humbling yourself. Long ago, I bought this old motorcycle, and the chain gets, you know, slack. And so they had this self-adjusting mechanism in it. And all it was an arm that had some spring tension on it. And with a little Teflon thing that the chain rides over. So when the chain would slack a little bit, this spring tension would just pull it back up and keep it from getting so slack that it tangles up itself. And so all it does is just, this keeps a little bit of tension on it so it doesn't mess itself up. Self-adjusting mechanism. And you know, I thought inside of each of us, God wants to insert a self-adjusting mechanism, which is a response to wisdom. And you adjust accordingly. But this adjusting mechanism required always a constant little bit of tension. So that when it slacks, it pulls it up a little bit more. Slacks, pulls it up a little bit more. There's going to be times when you're drifting and I'm drifting. We have a tendency to do this, move into this relationship. We see this opening, this open door. This person who you're not married to invites you to a season of affection or emotional closeness. And you see the open doors, you're going to feel a little bit of tension on you from the Holy Spirit. Just a little bit. Won't be hard, just a little bit of tension. And you'll have a tendency to fight that tension off. and go the other way. But listen, it's not just, oh, no, I'll just brush that off. No, 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 we're not going to jump in the sheets together. I just like the feeling of this stuff. There's going to be a little bit of tension. The Holy Spirit's going to just kind of wind you in a little bit, and don't fight against it. It's a self-adjusting mechanism on the inside. It's the Holy Spirit saying, don't mess with it. Don't play with it. Cut it now. It's an Amalekite. And he will identify that for you. Oh, no, 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 it's not God. And we fight against the tension. I don't like this tension. I don't like feeling guilty about it. And that's what the world does. Christians make you feel guilty. No, no, it's the Holy Spirit, a little tension, because he loves you so much and he sees the Amalekites coming and he sees your future and he's for you, not against you. The Holy Spirit's always for you. Now we can fight that tension, or we can say, no, no, that's something God's placed inside of me and I want to be a self-adjusting person and I make that correction. If you don't, then you will default to the instructor of consequences. And so hear what he's saying and allow there to be a willingness to practice humility. Now, even after all of that, finally Samuel says to Saul, Saul, you blew it. And Saul says, okay, okay. And he finally admits, but it throws him into the third correctability killer. And would you write in your notes? And that is image. A desire to keep an image. And when that image keeping an image is so prevalent in your life and mine, it almost becomes a god to us. In order to have a good image, I am willing to sacrifice morals, scruples, relationships, take shortcuts, whatever, because I want the image. And it becomes a god that we put fruit in front of every day. It basically controls our life. I burn Senko in front of it. Everything. Because you see, I want that God, the God of image, and I'm willing to throw everything else away for it. And I bow down before this thing. Well, that's what happened with Saul, and that was the end of his kingdom. Let's read about it. Ready? Go. Then he said, I have sinned, but please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and go back with me that I may worship the Lord your God. You see, he said, okay, I'm wrong, but I want to still look good. Hide the error. Quickly cover it over, because I want to look good. Instead of dealing with his heart, he says, just deal with the symptoms of a bad heart, so I'll keep looking good. See, we live in the middle of a world that's looking good on the outside, but feeling bad on the inside. And we settle for that. We're fine with that. I just met with a lady, just this last service, said she was in an illicit relationship for 2.5 years, but it looked good on the outside, nobody knew. But then he just dumped her. And she's down in the dumps at the bottom of the pit. And what she thought was at the top of the hill was really the fool on the hill. And she said, that's so true. I played with the Amalekites and I got bit. God loves us so much that he says, don't settle for the image. Instead, learn to be a person who is trusting God. Trusting God. We have one life to live, and we've got to do it God's way. Let's try it. Do it God's way and his time. And when you do, oh, watch how God blesses you. Let's read the scripture, Proverbs 29:25. Ready? Go. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be... Isn't that great? We live in a world that's looking bad, feeling bad on the inside, but looking good on the outside. And we settle for that. Reminds me of the story of the lady who looked out her second story window and she saw her dog in the neighbor's yard tearing up the neighbor's rabbit. And by that, she thought, oh no, we're all already having trouble with the neighbor. Oh no. So she ran downstairs, took a broom, started beating her dog. Let that thing go. Let that thing go. So finally the dog lets it go. And by this time it's dirty, filthy, slobbery, saliva all over it, and extremely dead. And so, oh no, she thought, what am I going to do? The neighbors are going to come home in a little while. Oh, she thought, I know what, I'll deal with it this way. She took that dead cadaver rabbit over into her shower. She showered scoured the thing, washed it off. It's like, and then she takes Prel shampoo and shampoos the thing with built-in conditioner. And she shampoos it. Then she blow dries it and fluffs the hair back up. Then she takes it over and puts it like it's sitting up because, you know, rigor mortis and stuff. So she's, it kind of puts the ears like that and it stays. Well, she runs back home, and about a half an hour later, she hears this neighbor who had just come home scream. Ah! Squeaky, she runs downstairs to her neighbor's house. Pray tell, what might the problem be? She said. The lady screams. Ah! She said, our rabbit died 2 days ago. We buried it in the yard, and now it's back. It was looking good on the outside, but nothing was going on the inside. You know, we laugh at that, but don't we live that way a lot? We live just like that. And God speaks to us about something, and the image looks good, and the Lord says, how are you doing? Oh, fine. Bah. Oh, really? You guys are, that's happening? You're splitting up? Oh, no, bah. No, no, we're fine. And the Lord says, let's deal with that. Oh, no, 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 no. What about that relationship? Oh, I'm fine, bah. And the Lord says, you know, that's going to kill you. You deal with it. And what's his final words to us this morning? He said, well, Wayne, how do I deal with the bleating of sheep? Real simple. Catch it. What do I do with the bleeding of sheep? How do I stop it? Kill them. Dead sheep don't bleat.
You've been listening to a message entitled The Correct Ability Factor with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Pastor Wayne will be back in just a moment with a closing prayer. I was created to give you glory for such a time as this. Tell of your greatness and all of your splendor for such a time as this. Now, once again, here's Pastor Wayne.
Each of us are going to have Amalekites chasing us, hungering in the darkness. Oh, it's not a frontal attack. It's something very covert, like terrorists in your life. And the Lord's going to show that up to you, and he's going to identify the Amalekites, and he's going to say, get rid of it. Kill it completely. Don't even mess with it. Don't play with it, because it'll prey on your weakness. And we have a choice to make. Jesus, thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you that we can walk through these things and learn from day to day, to become wiser, that you might change us from glory to glory, so that we might run in such a way that we would win.
Give us wisdom today, I pray. And I thank you that we get to trust in you. I place my trust in you. I believe you. I choose to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus, heaven and earth will bow to you.
Words of New Hope is heard each day at this time and sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening, and please tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the world in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.